Good morning. We're live from Welton Chapel. Whether you're watching from your sofa or maybe on a day like today, hopefully you're outdoors somewhere, whether you're on your own or with your friends, we're really glad you're here. We're going to be continuing our series called We Are One, a series of talks. Today it's Trina Simpson, a good friend of the last 20 years, but most importantly, she is a passionate follower of Jesus. We've been thinking about how the church is not some club or antiquated man-made idea. It's not an add-on leisure activity like going to the gym or Pilates or something. We are a community of Jesus followers who, whilst we're vastly different from each other, we're one through Jesus. So here's a thought as we kick off today. We're going to be one people forever. When wars cease, when every tear is removed, when every national government, treaty, racial injustice, financial system, when it all comes to an end, Jesus and his church are going to be there. And right now, we're not just waiting, sat on our hands. We're image bearers of God, and we get to connect the then with the now. In the Bible, in Ephesians 3, 10 and 11, it says, God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to all the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which was accomplished in Christ Jesus. I love the Message paraphrase of the same bit in the Bible. It says, through Christians like yourselves, gathered in churches, this extraordinary plan of God is becoming known and talked about, even among angels. That's what we're part of right now, something that will outlive every other structure on earth. And so every time someone says the church is dead, God just breathes life into it. You persecute it, it grows. You sideline it, still its message attracts millions of new believers around the world every month of every year, to the point where people risk their lives to gather together, to be one people that will last forever. We're going to pray a prayer that many of us know well, in fact, well enough that we kind of need to draw a breath before we pray it. And we need to be ready to say the words afresh around today that connects with who we are in the future. It's what Jesus thought was the best answer to the question, how do you pray? So wherever you are, even if you're on the beach, in fact, especially if you're on your beach, let's pray this prayer out loud together. It's going to come up on your screen. And a bunch of us down here at the chapel, we're going to pray it together. Here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Before we worship as one community of Jesus, we want to hear from friends who are part of us, but in another part of the world, that's in Nepal. Here's James and Sandra.
Greetings and namaste from sunny Kathmandu.
Since we're not going to make it to Old Blighty this summer, and we're not going to be able to see all of you, we thought we'd do a little virtual catch-up.
And we feel very privileged to be able to join you in your special prayer room on Sunday the 20th of June at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and then we can tell you a little bit about what we have been doing, what the situation now is, maybe what we're hoping to do in the future.
We look forward to seeing many of you there. Bye-bye.
Bye.
In Psalm 100 from the Message translation, it says this, God is God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him, for God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. You know, even though we're not together in one place, we are together by God's Spirit and together in mission at this moment in history. So let's worship this God of sheer beauty, recognizing as we do it that we are one people. Trina.
For a very long time, and was part of the church in Catford that Matt left. Well, kind of part of it. I was in Brazil for most of that time. and more recently worked with Matt in some of the things that he's done overseas. It's great to be with you this morning in whatever internet world I'm in. I'm not sure if you guys are live streaming or if you're sending things out by email or even if I'm doing an appearance on Zoom, but whatever way we're meeting this morning, I just want to speak the peace of God over you and over your households. And I'd just like to pray, if that's all right, before we start. So Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning and we ask you, would you open our hearts to hear your word? Father, I pray that people will pick the meat off the bones and that, Lord, if something that I say isn't helpful, it'll be discarded. But Lord, those seeds that you want to drop into our hearts and give fruit, Father, I pray that they'll be the ones that take root in the good soil of our hearts. Lord, I just bind up any distractions right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for connections to flow across the airways. In your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, I think the last time that I spoke to you was in about June last year. Might have been a bit earlier. It might have been more like May or even April. I know we haven't long been in lockdown. It's been a long year, hasn't it? It really has. I never imagined back then that this time, all this time on, that I would still be under some restrictions or other. And I don't know about you, I spent a lot of lockdown desperate for restrictions to end and for things to go back to some level of normality. And as things have started to change, I found myself a little bit ambivalent towards it and not quite sure of how ready I am to go back to some of what we once considered normal. So I know God's got a lot of work to do. I've spent a lot of time in isolation this year, like many of you as well. But it's great to be with you today. It really is. Do you know, I was thinking about everything that we've been through and the topic that I've been given today, which is how to find treasure in each other. And I was kind of thinking about that. And it really struck me that one of the most important things that I'm taking out of this season is how precious and important people are to me. And I already knew that. I really did. I've always been someone that really loves people. And yet that seems to have increased in me over this time, because I've realised again what a gift we are to each other. What a gift the body of Christ is to each other. What a gift. What a gift our neighbours are to us. And there's something about the severity of this season that has made me see that all over again. And I don't want to give that up. I want to hold on to that as we go into the new, because we won't quite go back to the old. But I want to hold on to it and find even more treasure in the people of God, in the people around me, the people I work with, the community I serve in. Because actually, that's the important thing. People are the most important thing that God's given to us in many ways. And it's absolutely incredible how that's been highlighted to so many of us in this season, how precious they are. You know, it doesn't depend on whether we like them or not. They're still a gift to us. It's easier to accept the gift if we like it. But even if we don't, they're still a gift. And that's the mindset that we need to create as the people of God. We need to get hold of that in our heads and let it drop into our hearts. You know, today we're going to be talking a little bit around that and finding treasure in each other. And when I was thinking about it, really, I think that this is about stepping into our call to radically love each other and to love those around us. Because that is what we're called to do. We're called to show the same love that Jesus has shown to us, to other people. In John 15, 13, if I can see my Bible, it's so small. In John 15, verse 13, it says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. There's an expectation there from Jesus that just like he laid down his life for us, that we will lay down our lives for each other. And then we can truly be a friend of his. And you know, that might look different for many of us, depending on what situation we're in. For some people, it literally does still look, even today, like laying your life down physically for those that you're serving and reaching out to. For many of us, it's about laying down various aspects of our daily life, of our heart. It's about laying down our rights and considering someone else more important. It's about radically obeying that call of God to love and to reach out, to put others first and to put their needs before ours. We need our perspective to change on the way we see people. Because as we step out in radical love, it really forces us to mature. Because it's not always easy to love well. It's not always easy to step over the boundaries that have come up in relationships, or easy to step over the boundaries that different cultures might bring up in us. And yet we're called to love radically. We're called to see things as Jesus sees things, not as I see things. You know, let's be honest, we even struggle sometimes to really love those that are close to us, don't we? And if we're honest, people are odd. We're all a bit quirky. I'm really quirky at times. You know, much as I hate to acknowledge it and even believe it, I can't quite believe it, but I'm someone's difficult person. I am someone's difficult person. I don't think I should be, because I think I deal with people well. But the reality is, I will be someone's difficult person, and so will you. And if we get hold of that, it kind of helps us to normalize things a bit with those people that we do find difficult. We're all a bit quirky. But you know, it's when we can see that quirkiness as something that's unique and something that's special, that we can actually move forward in loving people well. It's when we can see that quirkiness is really covering brokenness, that we can get behind that and we can walk with someone in their brokenness, going lower still, laying down our rights, sometimes laying down our anger, laying down our preconceptions, to find the treasure that's in them. You know, we take things so personally sometimes. I do. I attribute intention to people that isn't even there. But it's because I've learned through the lens I view that some people in the past have been like that with me. So I can take hold of that and put it on someone else. And yet when I stop and breathe, and when I go to that person and talk openly, I realise that I've got it wrong. And that's how we need to deal with things, is to be real and authentic and talk to the other person so that we can actually walk on together, being part of each other's story, finding that treasure in each other, the treasure that makes the struggle worthwhile. You know, in Matthew, I think it's Matthew 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he talks about how people's love will grow cold in the end times. I don't think it's just the end times. I think people's love grows cold when we take offence, because we let that spirit of offence drop into our hearts, and it drops in easily, and it colours the way we view things and the way we see things. And it colours how we treat people. We're not called to take offence. We're called not to take things personally. We're called to be a people that brings things into the light of God, that talks to the Father about them, and then that releases it so that we can really live and we can help others to live. And I think if we can stop our love for people growing cold, that's really one factor that helps us to carry on digging a bit, to find the goodness in them and the real depth of who they are. You know, one of the things I learned early on in Brazil was that I needed God's lenses to truly see people. And some of you may have heard this story. There was a young man by a burger bar one day, and I knew this young man walked around armed. And I didn't know him very well. I wanted to stop and to talk to him. And so I pulled up the car, I got out, I bought myself a burger, I bought him one too. And we had this conversation. And all the time I was saying, God, give me something to say. Show me how you see him. Show me who you made him to be. And sure enough, God started dropping things into my heart. And I just started to speak them out. I'm not in a holier than thou way. I just did it in conversation. Oh, you're somebody who I see this in you. And you know, the more I spoke, this young man, 24 years old, hard, grew up largely on the streets, going home just to eat. His eyes started to fill up. And then he started to cry. And then he said to me, Auntie, even my mum doesn't say these things to me. Do you know, there's something really heartbreaking in that. But actually, God, Father God, put those things in him. And us as the people of God that hear the Father's voice, we can get hold of that for other people. But we need to ask him. We need to choose not to view people through our lenses, but to take them off and to put on God's lenses and to ask him how he sees someone, how he's made somebody. Is it my issue that stops me connecting with people? I often think it's somebody else's issue, but is it really mine? So I go to God and I say, God, is this about my baggage? Is something pressing a button on me? Is that why I can't love this person well? And sometimes, quite often, it's about me. And I need to get my heart right with God. And I need to get myself in that place healed so that I can reach out better. So that I can go lower still. We used to say that a lot. I worked for Iris Ministries. And we used to say that a lot, that to love, you need to choose to go lower still. And I think that's so important. We need to choose to have a spirit of humility. We don't always know what is wrong with someone or why they're behaving as they are. We often think we do, but we don't. We often think that we know why somebody has said something that they have, but we don't. And we need to go with all humility. Rather than just interpreting people's reactions and actions through our lenses, we need to go to God and get hold of his lens for seeing people. In Genesis 1, verse 31, right back at the beginning of the story of God with his people, God looked at everything that he made. He looked at creation and he said, behold, it is very good. Behold, it is good. You know, what does that really mean? And is it really true? We don't use the word behold very much today. I actually looked it up because we just don't use it. But behold means to ask someone to look at something that's spectacular, to ask someone to look at something that's impressive, to see and to observe it. That is our starting point for finding the treasure in people. Rather than coming at it from, oh my goodness, that person, they've done this, this and this, and they said this, and they're having a hard time. Rather than coming at it from that angle, we need to come at it from the angle that says, look, that's good. They're gifted in this. They can do that. They're a person that God's made to be X, Y, and Z. And if we can get hold of the beauty and the uniqueness in that person right from the start, that really, really helps us. It helps us to unearth the treasure in each other. And we're suddenly in the place of affirming God's original design of that person, affirming who God has made them to be. We're all created in the image of God. Some of us reflect more of God than others, depend on how deep our relationship is with them. That's his grace, that's not us. But we're all made in the image of God. Sometimes the image is a bit more broken, a bit more cracked. But we need to just get hold of what God says and how he made each, how he made each person, how he made me, myself, you, and those around us, what our spiritual DNA is. At Restore, we have a course called Finding Freedom. And we talk a lot about your spiritual DNA. And we have teams of people, usually three people, that will meet with a person at the end of the course. We go through lots of things about believing the lie, repenting of the lie, getting hold of our identity. And then at the end of the course, there's a short time when three people will get together and they'll listen for God, to God, for you, to see what God says about your original design. And it's absolutely amazing. Sometimes we don't even know these people, and yet there's such consensus with the words that God gives us on team. And it's not about prophesying, but it's literally about getting hold of who that person is and what who God says they are. And I can remember I went on one trip once overseas, and I'd asked for words for the women that I was meeting. And I hadn't given names, I'd just asked for words, and woman number one, number two, number three. I had a list of the names at home that I'd kept separate, and I got the words back. And there was this one lady, I got all these words back for her about how she was made. And I have to say, I went into a bit of a crisis, because I thought, if those words aren't right, they're wildly off. So it's really not going to be good for her faith. But anyway, when it came round to it the day, we were giving the words out, and I gave this lady her piece of paper with it all written up. And it was things like, I see you making dresses and doing fine stitching. God loves the care you take with the things that you make for others. You know, very specific words. And this lady got hold of it, and she loved it. She just burst into tears. And she said, they're all so accurate. And I breathed a big sigh of relief, because otherwise I would have been bursting into tears for other reasons. But that's the thing, we get hold of who God says someone is. Because armed with that, we can really see how God's created them to be. And that's so, so special. It's just amazing. You know, it's people are precious to us, and people are so important to God. And we need to be a people that can see them as God does, that can see each other as God does. You know, to really find that treasure in someone, we need to be able to honour them, to radically love them, to see how God made them, to encourage and draw out the things in them that will enable them to become who God says they are. That's the treasure that's in them, that's in us. It's about us becoming who God says we are and who God made us to be. And it's so exciting that we can be part of that in each other, and part of seeing the plan and the destiny that God has for each person coming into being. God has gifted all of us so uniquely. Let's be a people that draw it out. You know, it's not about what people do, but it's about who people are made to be, and seeing people step into the fullness of that. Because once we're in the fullness of that, then that's when we'll start doing what we're supposed to do. And that's really exciting, that we can be part of finding and polishing up that treasure within each other. I was reading something on, I think it was on Facebook, actually, and maybe it wasn't Facebook. I don't know where it was, but I was reading something, or maybe listening to something, and it was actually Bill Johnson speaking in one of these kind of conversation dialogues. I don't know if it was written or if it was oral now, I can't remember. But Bill said that when you wash, I'm going to read it so I don't get it wrong, when you wash somebody's feet, you will see why they walk the way they do. And I think he said that it was someone in his family who used to say that. I loved that, because it speaks about the humility of walking with someone and really seeing who they are and why they are. And it's in that place of brokenness that we bring who God says they are, and we draw out that treasure. We radically love that person to bring out that treasure in them. And as we serve them, it brings out the best in us as well. We can just let go of expectations that we have for that person. And instead, we can just concentrate on loving them and blessing them. And people respond to that. You know, I listened to a talk recently. I'm doing a counselling course, level 4. And I was listening to a talk and it said that we so often listen to formulate an answer and not to really hear. And I think that's so true sometimes, isn't it? It's certainly true of me, that sometimes I can be in a situation and I'm listening, but I'm not really hearing, because I'm sometimes feeling a bit aggrieved and wanting to respond or wanting to get my point across. And yet actually, if we just listen and sit with someone in what's going on, even when we're the ones potentially that have been upset, we can actually get hold of God in so much more of a deeper way than we would if we just dive in. And we can get alongside that person in a way that's really real and authentic. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Fix your thoughts on what is good and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely. Dwell on the fine and good things in others." That's from the Living Bible. That's challenging to me. I rewrote that verse to myself because I think sometimes I'm the exact opposite. And this is what I'm like. I fix my thoughts on what has, might be, or will go wrong. On those things that are hard and that have upset me. I get anxious and think about all likely possible scenarios involving the other person. And then I dwell on the ugly ramifications of that. That's not who I'm created to be. But that's what goes on sometimes in my head and in my heart. That's not who God made me to be. I don't want that. I want to be someone who fixes my thoughts on what's good and right, that dwells on the fine things and the good in others. That's who I'm made to be. It's about aligning ourselves first with who God says we are. We need to fix ourselves before we can find treasure in someone else. It's about walking in our own brokenness and being real about it so we can get alongside someone in theirs. About lining ourselves up and aligning ourselves with God's word. And praying, not God change them, but God change me. Help me to see. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it says that love is not easily angered and it keeps no record of wrongs. You know, I want to be a person that radically loves and keeps no records of wrongs, that sees treasure, the treasure of God in other people. And I'm sure so many of you listening to me want to do that as well. I've got one story to tell you just to finish. I met a lady several years ago on leave from Brazil. She was in the UK and I went to a particular place and this lady was there and she was scary. She was swearing and shouting and really quite off-putting. But I chose to go and talk to her. I chose to get to know her. And then when I came back from Brazil, I looked her up and I have coffee with her. And as I've got to know her, what I see is a really lovely woman who actually has a heart of gold. And she was telling me some of her story. And she had an operation on her brain after something that happened. And she came round from the operation and was very different the way she is today. And that's hard for her as well. But you know, if I hadn't have got alongside her, I wouldn't have known that. I could have just cast her off and been frightened of getting a relationship. She's actually a woman who's got a heart of gold. And I know one day I'm going to see her come to Jesus, because there's treasure in her that God put there. She is treasure in God's hands. And so I want to encourage you all today to find the treasure in each other and to reach out to those people that sometimes we'd rather run away from because we're scared. Let's be like Jesus. Let's cross those barriers and get out of our comfort zone. Let's walk in radical love so that we can bring him to others. Thank you so much for having me with you this morning. It's been lovely, lovely, lovely to talk to you. And I hope you've been blessed. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much, Trina. Let's walk in this love, aligning ourselves with who God says we are and who God says others are, choosing not to take offense so that we can love radically. So what next? A couple of important things to mention. But before that, I want to take this opportunity, just a moment, to say a huge thank you to our Go Live team, who have been so servant-hearted, willing to learn on the job, and passionate about connecting us with God and with each other and with those that don't know Jesus yet. So a huge thank you to Caroline and the whole team. A massive thank you to you guys who are here today and you guys who are here on other weeks. All right, we're hoping, dependent on government guidance tomorrow, that we can start meeting physically as one church out in the open air 2 weeks from now on June the 27th. But of course, we're going to listen carefully and email everybody out this week to let you know what that looks like. If you're new to the church or you're connecting from somewhere else, you can check on our website where you'll find everything that you need to know about that. Next week, we're going to be back in communities, 4 different locations around our local area. For the last time, maybe, maybe not. We don't know for sure. But let's allow God to continue growing this agility within us as a church that's less concerned about where and when we meet, but more concerned and more passionate about why we're meeting together. I think God's doing that and I love it. And I think there's more that he wants to do. If you're new to church, let me tell you, it's way more life-giving and healthy than you've probably heard. And I'd encourage you, come and hang out with us and see what you think. If you're new to Jesus, then get ready to hear things about your purpose and calling that are way better than you've probably heard so far. Wherever you're at in your connection with God and with the church, we would love to chat with you, get a coffee with you, a phone call, a Zoom, whatever works. So drop us an email at hello@weltonchurch.org.uk and we would love to connect with you. For now, have a great week and God bless.